This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
So if you're looking to give to something and get a little bit of something in return, it's a plus-plus, it's a win-win. There's no better place to do that than with the Dawn Busters Kiwanis Club, the world's largest turkey fry. They've got turkeys for sale. They are ready for pickup on Wednesday, November the 27th. And the guy that's in charge of this operation, who joins us every year, joins us again today, Melvin Dussel. Melvin, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel, thanks for having me again, man. We really appreciate it.
We want to sell you out, Melvin, and I don't know where we stand in that regard. I mean, I know that y'all like it. Would be great if going into this weekend you knew that you were sold out. In that way, you could begin your budgeting plans as to how, you know, and who is going to be the beneficiary of the dollars that y'all generate, that are so many incredible projects that y'all involve yourself in.
It takes a lot of pressure off of us, Noel, if we have them sold before the event. Right now, we have about 190 left to sell. So we've sold 810. It'll be a sellout, even if once we go on TV the day of, it'll be a sellout. But it's so much easier for us to do this in advance because it's a lot of work involved. And also, if you want to buy 10 or more turkeys, if any company wants to buy 10 or more, which we usually sell about 250 a year that way, then we'll deliver them to you for free in the metropolitan area that morning. And we have a lot of companies that buy turkeys from us and they donate them, like to Covenant House and places like that. So it's a win, like you said, it's a win-win for everybody. And as we talked about, buy two and freeze one for Christmas, because nobody fries a turkey like the Dawn Busters and the crew of Carrollton do. And all the money goes back into the community. We don't keep a penny of profit on any event that we do. And we really appreciate you and WWL, what you've done for us over the years. And of course, you know, someone told me, I don't know if it's true or not, Newell, but someone told me if we weren't sold out by tomorrow, that you were going to pick up the tab and buy the rest. Was that? Have you heard that?
I've not heard that.
You haven't heard that?
But just in case y'all didn't know, folks, he does this to me all the time.
look, we pick on everybody. You know, even when Billy Nunguess is around, you know, Lieutenant Governor Nunguess is a member of our club. He's a great member. But we pick on him the same way I pick on you. Nobody's off limits for us.
Absolutely. How many years have y'all been doing this, Mel?
25 years. And
wow.
It's just an enormous process. I mean, just the volunteers the day of, just that one particular day, we have over 150 people that volunteer. It's an enormous event. It's something you've got to see. Just imagine an 18-wheeler full of turkeys. And all those turkeys have to be taken off and cleaned and processed and injected and then fried and then cooled and then boxed and then handed out. you know, we've got people who have been doing this for so many years, you can do it in your sleep. But it's still, it's an enormous project. And Joe Gilbo, one of our members, this is his first year being the overall chairman. He's an attorney, okay? And you'll appreciate this as an attorney. You guys are detailed people. And this whole event, I mean, he's going to have a nervous breakdown when this is over. I did it three times over the years, but all of us are on the committee, you know. But it's a lot of work. The people that receive turkeys from us, you know, we always thank them. When you come in your car to pick up a turkey, you'll have 20 people say thank you. But the amount of people that say thank you back to us, they're like, no, you thank you. I don't have to worry about this. I don't even have to get out of my car. I just come pick it up. And some of the things, Newell, if you don't mind me talking real quick, some of the places that the money goes, okay, when we do these events, we do the largest reading program in America in Jefferson Parish Public Schools every year. It's called the Rewards for Reading Program. We've been doing it 18 years. We've given away over $20 million in prizes, the value in prizes to boys and girls in public elementary schools as incentives to read. And it starts in December. It's the number one reading program in America. We feed the homeless every other Monday at Lantern Light downtown behind St. Joseph's Church. We've been doing this 18 years. We have paid for, cooked, and served over 80,000 hot meals to homeless men, women, and children. And we sponsor two action clubs and five key clubs. And it goes on and on. Seriously, it's 365 days a year, somebody in our club is doing something to help the community. And while we're talking about it, we're always looking for members. So if you're interested in becoming a donor or a sponsor, call me direct. My name is Mel, 454-8397, or go online at dawnbusters.org. Or you can call my friend Newell Norman, because Newell knows everything about the Dawnbusters. And in fact, he's going to be the chairman of the Turkey Fry next year. He just doesn't know it yet.
For you, I'll do it, my friend. For you, I'll do it.
I know you would, too. You're a good guy, man. We appreciate you. But, yeah, if you haven't bought a turkey yet, please consider buying a turkey.
Yes, we need to get the turkey sold. The turkeys are – let me tell you what you get, folks. They're typically between 12 and 14 pounds. The cost is $65, but they wrap them in such a fashion you can put them – it's in a box. It's wrapped internally. You can put them in your car. You don't have to worry about anything leaking anywhere or anything else. If you got to run errands after the pickup, I do that every year. The aroma is incredible. You start dreaming about that turkey that night before the next day. They give you the cooking instructions to reheat the turkeys, the whole nine yards. You don't have to think about anything. It's all done for you, and that's what I love about this. And you want to talk about a great gift? Folks would call me and say, hey, you doing that turkey thing again this year?
You'll love that.
No, absolutely. People love it. I mean, because it's so easy. And I know a lot of folks, they don't even cook the turkey anymore. They're going straight to the turkey fry. So it's easy. The pickup is easy. It's a lot of fun, you know, and everybody's in a great mood. And if you can find yourself, our listening audience last year, I think we were responsible for almost over 200, I think, turkeys, you said, Mel.
Easy.
I don't know.
Yeah, well over 200. Yeah.
You know, we'd love to hit that number again. We're well on our way there. So if you're interested, you can call 504-867-8400, or you can go to www.dawnbusters.org, and you'll see the area with the world's largest turkey fry on that website. You can order it there. Get it done, and everything will be ready for you. They'll tell you what time of the day that your turkey will be available for pickup, because it is not mass confusion. It's one of the most organized events you're going to see.
That's, Neil, can I say something about that? If we give you a pickup time, let's just say it's 2 o'clock, okay?
Right.
Please don't come at 1:30 and say, I'm here to pick up my turkey, because we only can do 60 turkeys an hour. So if you come early, we're going to have to say, look, you're going to have to come back. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So if we say it's 2 o'clock, don't come until at least 2. If you come later, that's fine. But don't come. We've had people come 2 hours early and say, well, I'm in a neighborhood. I want my turkey. It's not built that way. You know, it's just not built that way.
It's built for convenience, quite frankly, in every other way, because you're going to be in and out of there in minutes. I mean, like, no minutes at all. So, I mean,
if your name is Newell Norman, as an example, your name is Newell Norman, not only do you get your turkeys, but you get whatever cocktail you want, you get whatever food you want to eat. But that's only for people named Newell Norman, if you know anybody by that name.
That is sometimes true.
It's happened before, right?
Yes, it has. And if I had nothing else planned, I just hung out there, and it was a blast.
Oh, I know.
Well, Mel, best of luck in this endeavor. Best of luck in this endeavor, as always.
So much,
we truly appreciate what the Dawn Busters Kiwanis does for the entire metro area, because they involve themselves in programs in all of the metropolitan parishes, and they do such a great job. We really appreciate what you do, and we want to thank your sponsors, Smart, River Parish Disposal, Walmart, Keesler Federal
Credit Union,
the crew at Carrollton, and obviously Dawn Busters as well. Big sponsors of this. Couldn't do it without the sponsors, so thank them as well. And I expect a call from you on Saturday to give me an update, Mel.
I'll do that, Mel. Thank you so much, buddy. We really appreciate it. Thanks to your audience.
Thank you, sir. All righty. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870. Check it out. The Dawn Busters Kiwanis Fried Turkeys, 12 to 14 pounds, $65, 504-867-8400 or www.dawnbusters.org.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the text line, it says, I ordered my turkey. I missed it last year. This will be my first one. Thank you so much for doing so. Other folks are asking for the number again, 504-867-8400. 504-867-8400 or www.dawnbusters.org. You can check it out and order your tickets today. I want to remind everybody to tune in tomorrow. Mike Haas and I are going to be live from the New Orleans Sports Foundation Super Bowl kickoff and honors luncheon. We'll reflect on a year of achievement in sports. We'll honor the legacy of Tom Benson, celebrate the leadership of Gail Benson, look back on the rich history of hosting Super Bowls, and highlight preparations for number 11. Yes, we will have been the host of 11 after Super Bowl 59. So you don't want to miss this. We can also NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and a who's who in sports tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on WWL. The festivities are starting, folks, for the Super Bowl. Things are starting to ramp up. So many different things going on. And we've got a really busy period of time coming our way. We do the Radiothon to benefit Children's Hospital every year. Myself, Tommy Scoot, and a number of folks on the radio, on the music programs will be out there Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in the first week of December. We'll be out there on the Radiothon. We're also going to be, my show will be at H2O Salon and Spa on December 11th. If you recall, that's our Toys for Tots. And I want folks to please get that on your calendar. Wednesday, December the 11th, we'll be at H2O Salon and Spa on Metairie Road right there by the railroad tracks. Last year, the response was over the top. We had folks pulling up in vans, dropping off toys. I mean, the guys, the military, the Marine Corps guys were just so moved. I mean, it was just an incredible experience. Really love it. Want to thank Holly out at H2O Salon and Spa for hosting us, and we'll be there on Wednesday, December 11th, collecting toys for kids less fortunate from 10 to 1. Let's make it big. Let's make it huge again this year. All right, we're going to get to another break. When we come back, we'll have the NOPD superintendent and Kirkpatrick will be joining us. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Getting a number of texts of people that are ordering their turkeys from Dawn Busters, Kiwanis Club, and we appreciate same and just keep it up. We'd love to sell them out. We are joined by the NOPD Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick. Chief, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sheriff. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. And, Chief, I purchased a turkey for you from Dawn Busters, and I will have it delivered to you on Wednesday. I know you've been busy, and I know you're about to get even busier, so you can check that off. You will have a fried turkey delivered to you Wednesday afternoon.
That is so incredibly gracious. Thank you for that.
I don't know, Chief. It's been crazy times. I was telling Raphael Goinecci, who was on the show earlier, let's talk about this terrorizing series of incidents that have been going on with New Orleans schools. You know, I've watched you a lot, and this is a time that I really saw that you were visibly irritated, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I was, because it does involve, like with the charges, is terrorizing. You're creating fear in the community, the people who perpetrate this, and it does annoy me. I don't like it, as no one does. And so I also am not one who wants to arrest children, but there are times that it is the most appropriate thing to do, and that is why the arrest has to be made. You have to be taken into custody. You must be charged with this crime.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what the kids are thinking, and I'm sure y'all have debriefed some of them, because you guys have made a number of arrests already. How many in total thus far?
I think we've made a total of 6, if I'm not mistaken, and we still had threats coming in this morning. What we do is on our NOPD side, and I'm sure you did it when you were active sheriff, we secure the school in the sense that we have a situation, we check it out, we make sure that the property is safe, but it is actually the school's decision as to whether or not they choose to shut down a school. We don't make that decision for them. If there was obviously an active shooter situation, of course, we would take control of the property. But once we know the environment is stable and safe, if a school chooses to shut down, that is their decision, not ours.
And these are difficult situations, right? Because you have information, it's fresh, it's new, you don't, you're not really in a position immediately to validate one way or the other. So you have to take these precautionary measures.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, we got to take everyone as though it's a active and real decision. And I will treat them all. I won't just act like, or not just me, but the agency. We are not going to dismiss it as a prank on its face. Every single one of them will be investigated as real. Unfortunately, we're finding that so far they have either been cries for help by a young person, or we had one that came in when we found out yesterday, and yet the school closed, but the person just simply didn't want to go to school. So they created a fake claim that they were going to shoot it up, but they just simply, as I said on the news, and I'll say it here again, for anyone or any parent who is listening, we are able to get to the account of who did this threat. We are going to knock on your door. We are coming because we can find you. And so we had one yesterday, and the young person just simply didn't want to go to school.
And do you think they have a sense of the level and the amount of disruption and the amount of human capital that's consumed with these types of cases?
I don't think so. I actually don't think that they are thinking that impact. And I think, like so many of us, short-sighted thinking. And I think we need to train ourselves up to think about what if I make this decision, the potential, you know, critical thinking skills. If this domino drops, what's going to be the impact of the final domino when it drops? And our kids and even adults don't think beyond an immediate decision. So, no, I don't think they're counting the greater impact, the collateral damage associated with a prank or even someone who is serious about their threat, but the impact of that.
And this has got to rock the world of those otherwise rule followers, law-abiding folks in the school system. Right. I mean, there's a level of skepticism about school safety on a good day, right? I mean, we are flooded with incidents that we read about on social media, traditional media outlets. And then you have something like this. I mean, it kind of sets back the community, and in some respects, that makes your job even harder.
Well, it makes us expend a lot of resources on our end to track these things down. And then, as I said, it's not my desire to arrest a child. I also understand long-term impacts. If I approve or support the arrest of a child, I understand that that has a long-term implication for them when they're young adults or even adults. So I don't do it without understanding there are huge impacts. But what they're doing is terrorizing as well an entire community. So when you and I grew up, these opportunities to use social media didn't exist. And so when we were upset or we didn't want to go to school, we had other ways we acted out. But today, everybody acts out on their emotions in many ways. I say everybody. That's hyperbolic on my part. But we need to learn to have control over our emotions.
No, no doubt. Well, I know one thing for sure. I'm actually sitting down right now. And, you know, this is some of these are like 1 week post incident. I probably wouldn't have been able to sit down 1 week post incident if I got caught.
And, you know, I got the whoopings and I got, you know, I was raised in that era. But it would never have dawned on me to do this. But they also have different messaging today than what you and I had. But this idea of anonymity, I think so many people and adults are doing it in their own way. But they post and they think that they can be salacious in their remarks. And in the end, people don't realize that anonymity can be easily pierced. And so that's why you see more and more internet defamation lawsuits. People think that they are hiding behind a IP address, but that's so easily pierced.
Yeah, you know, I see stuff out there, and I kind of shake my head, and I'm like, do these folks really believe they're invisible? I mean, it's like...
Yeah, I mean, and I actually think they really do think that. I think that they think that in their anonymity, we cannot trace. And today, our technology is just as great as the other person's technology. We easily can get to your IP address. From there, we get to your account, which has a name. From there, we can, even if you used a fake one, we could still get you. And that's why people are just, they're not understanding that this is such an easily traceable deal. And they're going to have severe consequences for it because we're not going to put up with it, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, you leave a fingerprint everywhere with this technology today. You don't, if you don't understand the technology, you don't realize what you're actually doing, but you're leaving your identity in multiple locations that are relatively easy to get to. That's why you have so many hacking operations and everything else that's out there, right?
Right, exactly. And I think that, you know, it's an unfortunate thing, but people who are victimized by this, yes, you are creating fear in the minds of people. And that also plays to law enforcement's crime fighting strategy. The fear of crime is just as important as well. So when this occurs, we're creating fear. And no parent, no member of this city should have to fear about their kids going to school. And that it does irritate me. So I'm not easily irritated, but I think I'm appropriately irritated, and I don't apologize for it.
No, absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. Chief, and your officers should be commended, because I know that y'all were able to get your hands around these kids in a very short period of time. These are not always easy, but obviously they stayed the course, and I'm sure they worked a hell of a number of hours in order to get to where they got in such a short fashion. And I know the community appreciates it. And the same can be said, I think, in your second line shooting investigation. I really like the fact that you kind of brought a whole lot of people together to talk about this immediately. Historically, that's not the way that we have responded to these things, and I think a lot of people appreciate that approach as well.
Well, we need to address it. What the important thing out of my mouth as a superintendent, as a chief, and again, your history as sheriff, you understand this, but people need to hear from me. They need to hear in an event like this that we are working it. We do have leads. This is very active. Our ability to solve these homicides are around 75%. So that means for every four people who engaged in murder, three easily will be arrested. That's what our track record is. And that's increasing such that we're getting into the 80 percentiles as well, which means it's more than three out of four. So it's the thing about this month, and I do want to address it because we're seeing some upticks in violence and shootings and homicides. This time last year, we had 20 murders in the month of November. We had 20 murders just in the month of November. In the holiday seasons, actually, is when we see uptick in violence. And here we are moving into the holiday season. Now, we have had and are still having, even immediately, more homicide this month than we had last month. But we're still about 50% down from where we were last month. So when it comes out on the news collectively, and it sounds like, oh, my gosh, and it is, each event is, oh, my gosh. But still, we are ahead of where we were last year. So we are, it's unfortunate, but I do know our community needs to understand that holiday seasons are actually more violent and dangerous in the world of law enforcement.
Yeah. No, no doubt. And, you know, we're heading into that busy time of year, right? I mean, we're going to have a lot more of these large gatherings. Thanksgiving, we always have Bayou Classic. Yep. Historically, there have been issues. Recently, there hasn't been, which has been great. And hopefully that carries through this year.
Yeah, we have really a lot of strategy and logistics out there. Like even kind of circling back to second lines, you know, the violence that occurred at this particular second line, this is not about second line culture. And it's very important we decouple the fact that the violence occurred at a second line, but it's not the second line itself or the second line culture. But all of us who go out, and I am going to ask people who go and enjoy these events, we need you to speak up. If you see people with guns, say something to us. Now, we're going to stay constitutionally within our boundaries of the law, but we want to know. And so enjoy your times, but crowds do attract those who want to hijack events.
You know, I wonder, is there a resistance by the second line groups and others when you have these large groups getting together of making announcements to remind them that it is illegal to carry a gun on a parade route or a second line route or otherwise?
You know, I really think that they, those who are leaders within the second lines are actually wanting to be in partnership with us, but we need them to indeed play that role and to also play the role of announcing about not bringing guns to a second line. It is, I was told it was legally going to count as a parade, which means you can't bring a gun to a second line. And that's my own legal analysis as well, that is clearly you can't bring a gun to a second line. So we need the leadership of the second lines to get that word out. earlier today before coming and joining your show. We were doing PSA filming, too, and there's a great little saying now, and I love it, that we did a PSA where our message is, come for the beat, but drop the heat. We don't want you to bring heat to a second line. So it doesn't matter what the event, and it could be Taylor Swift. It could be any event in which we have crowds, but we're trying to show a presence to deter, not a presence to impose. We want the culture and the enjoyment to be there. So our presence and our large presence is that one for safety, not oppression.
No, absolutely. And you know, I'm glad you brought up Taylor Swift. I happen to be down in the city quite a bit. Yeah. In fact, I was an Uber driver one night for my granddaughter and my wife and, and others that went. And I got to talk to a lot of people. And we went to dinner down in the Warehouse District before the concert. And folks were saying they felt safe. They felt like, you know, they were seeing police officers on every block just about. You know, y'all had the overheads on. When it got dark, they felt safe leaving the concert. You didn't hear that all the time in the past, right? But it was really encouraging to hear that this time. And they were paying attention. I mean,
Yeah, Sheriff, we got a lot of really positive feedback, but, you know, I call it, I want to provide a sea of blue. I want people to step out and see blue lights everywhere, not as an occupying force, but as it's a statement of your safety, and we are here, and that's what we're trying to provide for these very large crowds, a sea of blue. And that includes all of our partners who are with us. They're part of the blue lights.
No, absolutely. In fact, I got to talk to some JP officers that were working traffic, some of my old friends with the criminal sheriff's office, talked to them as well. Yeah. And everybody, they were really happy. It was mm-hmm. it was fun. It was mm-hmm. good to yeah. talk to them. They felt good about it, and you could tell they're whatever your plan is, they're buying it. They're buying into it, and they're believing it, which is good. It's great.
It's good. I want the culture of our police department, because we're a city of entertainment. We're a city of festivals. We're a city of events, and that's what New Orleans is so known, a wonderful culture of that. So I want our officers to enjoy the community. I want you to engage with them and eat from the food trucks and play with them and have a good time, because they can still be vigilant. They can do both. And if you've ever traveled in other cities, and I've thought, I don't want to go up to that police officer. I don't want to act like I'm disturbing them. I don't want that mindset of our officers. I want our officers to engage with the community, but they can do it and be mindful.
Absolutely. Well, Chief, thank you so much for joining us. Final thoughts.
Hey, we're going into the holiday season, and we all play a role in our own safety preparedness. So first of all, I wish everyone a wonderful Thanksgiving time with family and friends. Be safe. Always have designated drivers. And thank you for your partnership with us. I'm so grateful to this city and to you, Sheriff, that you give me the opportunity to express my own thankfulness to this city and this community. So stay safe. And thanks, and I look forward to another time of being with you.
And don't forget, Wednesday, I will deliver that turkey. We'll get with your assistant and figure out where that will be delivered. It'll be Thursday in the afternoon, but just know that that's coming your way. And have a great Thanksgiving as well for you and your family. We truly appreciate all that you do.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care, Sheriff. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That's Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick of the NOPD. You know, a lot of good things have happened, and I meant it when I said it to the chief about a lot of the folks that I talked to, both police and fire, EMS actually as well, and a lot of folks that were talking about walking to and from the French Quarter. A lot of people had gone out, you know, to dinner early, late lunch, early dinner, before the Taylor Swift concert, both Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, had an opportunity to talk to a lot of those folks. And it was amazing. They all said the same thing. They felt safe. They didn't feel at risk. You know, and as we get the lighting and a lot of the other issues that we talk about with Michael Heck about, and, you know, I get this all the time. People are asking, well, why does it take an event like Taylor Swift or the Super Bowl or Bayou Classic or this or that to get things done? It's an opportunity for a lot of business people that are impacted to come together and they want to, you know, get involved. And a lot of that is motivated by them, right? So, you know, the reality is that for me, why do we care? Now, the challenge is, and I think appropriately people talk about this all the time, is can we keep it going? And I asked that of Michael Heck, and he says, you know, these meetings that they're having, they've been so fruitful. They've led to so many positive outcomes that there is a strong appetite to keep this going, to keep these meetings going, these open lines of communication, this level of transparency that's out there. And if Michael says it, I think it's going to happen. I think they're going to continue to do it because everybody wants to see positive forward movement. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the results of this dialogue that's been created between the business community, you as taxpayers and others and government coming together, articulating a list of priorities and going after it, just going after it day after day. You know, and that's what I love when I watch the chief, you know, certain, you know, things that that she's going after it and getting it done and making these arrests. I mean, there's just another new breaking news, another shooting that occurred. You know, here we are in the midst of this holiday season, and it's getting a little dicey out there. And as when she talks about the solution rates on homicide, and I meant to say this when we were talking, those numbers are historic as it relates to the solution rate. There have been years that they have been in the 30s as it relates to homicide. The national average in homicides is probably around, in big cities, 250,000 plus, in the high 40s, right? So if you're in the 70s and 80s, you're higher than suburban areas. You're higher than rural areas, which are big, big numbers. I can tell you in Jefferson Parish, we historically have been in the 80s and 90s. And it's a mindset that we've always had that we wanted to get those crimes solved. And it has a trickle-down effect and impact in the community in a big, big way. So I am really encouraged by those numbers, as Chief Kirkpatrick outlined. So, all right, we got to get to a break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Scoot's headed your way. Up next, we'll visit with him when we return. Stay with us. Chief Kirkpatrick is a refreshing change. I love listening to her speak about our city and her job on a text line. Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Yeah, you know, I ran into her one day walking down the French Quarter streets, and she was just the nicest, kindest person. All right, Jaguar has a new commercial out. It's being compared to the Bud Light commercial. It's so woke, people want to not buy a Jag. Not that everybody's going to buy a Jag anyway. Morning Joe.
Well, if they want to get rid of it, I'll take them.
Well, actually, some people are talking about selling their Jags, and they don't even have any. All right, so we'll talk about that. Also, some highlights from the Country Music Awards last night.
Scoot's headed your way. Have a great Thursday evening. See you tomorrow.